اهلا يا شهر رمضان شرفنا بلا استئذان، اهلا يا شهر رمضان شرفنا بلا استئذان، بلك باب القلب مفتوح اهلا يا زكاة الروح، بلك باب القلب مفتوح اهلا يا زكاة الروح، اهلا يا شهر رمضان.
اعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite the salawat. As promised, inshallah, tonight onwards we're going to go over some of the verses of the Holy Quran. Before I introduce the surah that we're going to be covering by the grace of God, I want to give a few reminders with regards to the Quran itself. This is the month of the Quran. The month of the Qur'an. A month that we should be reciting the Holy Qur'an, so much so that according to hadith, we shouldn't be, I'm ashamed to say, if I finish, inshallah we ask Allah to help us, but we will finish one round of the Qur'an from the beginning to the end. If we do one juz a day. There's a hadith that says in the month of Ramadan you should be reciting the Qur'an such that you finish every 3 or 4 days, you finish one round of the Holy Qur'an. The Qur'an is guidance, it is light, it's nur, according to the Holy Qur'an, according to Allah. These are God's words. The effects of reading the Qur'an, reflecting upon the Holy Qur'an, pondering upon the meanings of the Holy Qur'an are enormous. We shouldn't take it lightly. We shouldn't take it lightly. Sometimes I think about my own approach towards the Qur'an, the way I see people are, our communities are. We don't understand what the Qur'an is. If I give you some of the ahadith about recitation of some of the surahs of the Holy Qur'an and their impact on our lives here in this world, we don't believe it. Simply, we don't believe it. That's why we don't do it. If we believed in these verses, or if we believed in these ahadith about the effects of the recitation of the Holy Qur'an, one surah or a few surahs of the Holy Qur'an, if we really believed what God says is true, what the hadith are true, we would be reading these verses and ahadith. We would be reading these surahs of the Holy Qur'an. There was a hadith, I shared this with the brothers and sisters in Dallas in a khutbah. There's a whole chapter in Usul al-Kafi, a very important hadith book that we have. The book is actually Al-Kafi. The first two volumes are referred to as Usul, the pillars, as opposed to the Furu', that's about 5 volumes, and then you have the Rawda at the end. A very important hadith book we have. In the second volume of this 8-volume book of hadith, there's a chapter about the recitation of the Holy Qur'an. Beautiful ahadith there. One hadith says, if you read Surah At-Tawheed once, if you read Surah At-Tawheed once, it's one surah, very short. It says, if you read this one surah once, God is going to give you barakah. Okay. We are all in dire need of barakah. What is barakah? With one example, I hope I'm able to drive this point home. You know, sometimes you're wondering how your time passes by. You have so many things to do and just don't find enough time for anything. Always struggling for time. I didn't get to spend time with my wife. I didn't spend time with my children. I didn't get the work done. I wasn't able to do any religious stuff. You're struggling to find times for different things. 24 hours is not enough in one day. And then sometimes you have some people, when you look at their lives, like, how in the world did this guy do this? All the accomplishments. It's the same 24 hours. It's the same numbers of years or number of years that they have lived that others have. It's the same number of years. But the amount of productivity that they were able to have during the same time is much more. You look at some of these very pious people, pious ulama, there's various examples that come to mind. One of the ones that I'm baffled with when I look at is Ayatollah Khamenei. This is one example. There's plenty of ulama, but he really gets me because of the combination of things that he's done. When it comes to history, he knows it inside out. When it comes to tafsir, the tafsir of the verses he gives, I'm amazed by the tafsir. Du'as, similarly. Fiqh, I've seen he's done amazing. Rijal, he's awesome. Politics, he's involved in it. The country is running great. Like, how do you do it? Family-wise, he's got 8 children. Okay? And he's been able to develop a family that every single one of those children are amazing children. Okay. I've seen them. I know his son-in-laws as well. Not close, but from a distance. I wonder, you know, how can you do all of this? Where did you get the time to do all of this? Barakah is this. It's the same amount of time, but productivity is double, triple, quadruple. You know, when the verse of the Holy Quran talks about Laylatul Qadr, خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ, the productivity of that night is more than 1,000 months, potentially. We don't make use of it, unfortunately. But God says this is how it is. This is the capacity of that night. Barakah, we're all in need of barakah. You have a small amount of money, but you can do a lot with this small amount of money. You take care of all of your needs and you share it with others. There's certain people who are like that. Small amount of money, they get everything done. They live a very comfortable life. Taking care of everything, family, the poor, the center, everything contributed. It's a small amount of money. Some people have loads, but they're always struggling. Barakah. Okay, this is barakah. You may have something, but does it have barakah? You have time, but does it have barakah or not? God says, according to the hadith, if you read Surah At-Tawheed once, God will give you barakah. We're in dire need of it, brothers and sisters. We're all in dire need. We need barakah for our time. We need barakah for our money. We want barakah in our families. We want barakah in every dimension of our lives. Who doesn't want that? Says you read it once, you will get barakah. Read it twice, you and your family are going to get barakah. Read it 3 times, you, your family, and your neighbors are going to be getting barakah. Do we believe this? I don't think so. You know, that's the worst thing we could do. Hear something from Allah, from the ma'sumeen, salamullah alayhim ajma'een, and be skeptical about it. That's the worst. You don't want to do that. يَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ ظَنَّ السَّوْءَ. Those who have ill thoughts about God. God, I'm not too sure if that's really true. He said it. The Ahlul Bayt have said it. One of the reasons why we don't get the results that have been mentioned in the hadith is because we're skeptical about them. That's the reason. I don't know if you've heard the story. They say there was this teacher and his student was coming from a distance because of a lake. The teacher asks him, why are you coming late every day? He says, there's this lake I have to walk around. He writes something in a piece of paper. He says, put this in your pocket. Put this piece of paper in the pocket. and walk over the water. And he does it. He comes the first day, second day, alhamdulillah, mashallah, great. One of those days he gets curious, so what is this that he wrote that I'm able to walk on water? While he's walking on water, he takes it out, he looks at it, says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Like, oh, it's Bismillah. He started sinking. Okay. You don't believe Bismillah can do this. Bismillah can do everything. Okay. We don't believe in it. If we believe in it, we do it with that belief, it has that effect. Three quruha, how much time does it take? Not even 5 minutes, not even 2 minutes. Make it happen. We have hadith, do it right before bed. Quran, the verses are miraculous. Just reading them, this is not even pondering upon or anything, just reading it. We don't take the Quran as seriously as we should. Okay. Now with that intro, I'm trying to encourage us. This is the last, there's a reason why I'm saying this at the last part of the last week of the month of Ramadan. Because the month of Ramadan is Rabi'ul Quran. It's the spring of Quran, when life comes back to Quran. But that doesn't mean after Ramadan it dies. If we've developed a habit of reading Quran on a daily basis, let's try to continue that. If not the exact same amount, at least a page or two. 5 pages a day. Read the Quran. Read these surahs. There's plenty of ahadith talking about the effects of the various surahs that we have. The surah that I was looking at, and I thought it'll be beneficial, inshallah, by the grace of God, for us to go over, is Surah Al-Muzzammil. Surah Al-Muzzammil. It's the... I don't have the number of it here. It's in Juz number 29 of the Holy Quran. And it's before Surah Al-Muddathir. Unfortunately, this Quran doesn't have the number of the surah on it, and I forgot to look that up. Inshallah, tomorrow I'll explain that, and you can find it yourself. Surah Al-Muzzammil. It's one of the shorter surahs of the Holy Quran. It has 20 verses in it, and it's a very interesting and important surah of the Holy Quran. The surah is Makki. In other words, it's revealed in Mecca. Some of the surahs are revealed in Medina, some of them are revealed in Mecca. What does that already tell us about this surah? 73, thank you, brother. Surah number 73 of the Holy Quran. What does it tell us when it says that this is in Mecca? This is during the time that Islam is still very in its primitive, the movement, the Islamic movement is in its primitive stages. There are few believers. There's a lot of pressure on the believers. Very difficult times, especially in the initial days of Islam. Very, very, very tough time. That's a given when we know it's Mecca, it's revealed in Mecca. But what is it specifically trying to address? Allama Tabatawai, like other Mufassireen, believes every surah of the Holy Quran has an objective. From beginning to the end, there's one core objective that is being approached and addressed in each of the surahs of the Holy Quran. There's various stories mentioned in various surahs of the Holy Quran, but each surah has a particular approach, a particular reason why a story is being mentioned. Okay, so there's an objective. What is the objective of Surah Al-Muzzammil? What's the main message in this surah? Let's work with the word Muzzammil, and then that'll help us sort of work our way to understand what this surah is all about. Muzzammil means a person that's wrapped themselves in a sheet, a malhafa, and they're laying down. This is a muzzammil. Who is being addressed? Who's the muzzammil here? The Holy Prophet. Ya ayyuhal muzzammil. Why is the Holy Prophet wrapping himself up in a sheet and lying down? What is the story behind this? This has been revealed in the earlier days of Mecca. You know, there's 13 years that the Holy Prophet has as a messenger, as a Rasul in Mecca. Towards the end, the number of people that are with the Prophet are more. Yes, there's a lot of trouble, there's a lot of pressure, there's a lot of threats coming his way. There is the boycott of the believers, the sanctions on the believers, all of that's there. But there are more followers. Okay. Things have changed at that point. But in the earlier stages of the development of Islam, there were very few followers. Very few followers. The Holy Prophet would go to Masjidul Haram and give the verses of the Holy Quran, introduce Islamic teachings to people. When he started introducing this, especially when it got a little more public, what ended up happening, what started happening, was various people started mocking the Holy Prophet. People started saying a lot of different things about the Holy Prophet. He was being disrespected, no support. I don't know if we feel this or not. I've tried many times, a number of times at least, I've tried to picture this myself, and I've tried to give examples to try to get us to understand this, get a feel for it. But I have almost always failed at it, okay? To try to get us to understand what this actually means. Have you ever thought of, these are some ideas to try to help us understand what this means. Have you ever tried to go on the intersection here, put up a sign and say, hey everyone, come and accept Islam. Did you ever think of doing anything like that? Calling everybody to Islam, come and accept Islam. What do you think the response is going to be? What do you think the response is going to be? If you just start, you know, put a banner up and you start telling people, you need to become Muslim, your beliefs are wrong, okay? Your ideology is wrong. What you've been raised on is wrong. You're doing this public. It's difficult. Have you given those types of lectures before? Even when you have people around you. We had Yawm al-Quds last Friday, right? I'm giving a talk there. I'm feeling a lot of pressure there, okay? We got people around us that are supposedly supportive, but I know a lot of people out there aren't really that supportive, okay? We have to say some very important and difficult things people don't like to hear. A lot of people don't like to hear that. We're surrounded by 100, 200 people chanting the same slogans. We've got a lot of support there. It's still difficult to speak to a people and say, come, and none of them come forward. Okay, and it's just for an hour or two. You don't repeat this. Try doing that over and over and over and see the type of response you're going to start getting. How do you feel when a few people come and start complaining? Have you given talks? Sometimes when I give a talk somewhere, people don't like it. Okay. People come forward and, you know, they're going to say things. I had this session in Scotland. It was an interfaith session. In the University of Dundee a few years back. A good Shia community in the university. They invited me for a session. There was a Christian representative, a member of the Christian clergy there, interestingly enough, from Dallas, Texas. And in that session, I was supposed to talk about some of the misconceptions about Islam and clarify them. And he was supposed to be talking about some of the misconceptions about Christianity and clarify them. He chose to talk about the Bible and how people say, oh, the Bible isn't really the word of God. That's seriously in question. He tried to defend the idea that, no, this is God's word and so on and so forth. What I tried to do, I was thinking, and it was very difficult, okay, so which one of the misconceptions against Islam do I try to respond to in this 20 minutes that I have? Okay, which one can I really clarify? And the majority of the people are not going to be Muslim, right? So I thought to myself, you know what? I have this one opportunity. Let me take advantage of it. So I said, let me talk about what the media is doing against religion. The campaign that the mainstream media has against religion altogether. You guys are Christian. Think about this. Think about what's going on. Follow things up. Don't be shy. Don't allow them to corner you. There's a war on religion, on faith, on God. If you're religious, whatever religion you have, if you believe in God, defend that belief. They're fighting this belief. Okay? So I went on with that. I gave examples. And some old lady in the crowd really didn't like that. Okay? And she came afterward and said, "Where the heck did you get this information?" And this, that, the other. And afterwards, you know, it's just one person out of the crowd that's saying this. But I really felt terrible. Okay? It's not easy to deal with that. You feel, okay, how many more people are feeling the same way? This is only one lecture that's given. I'm not even able to get the feelings you can get across, right? When you have everybody mocking you, coming over, what the heck are you talking about? All that pressure, really, it's a lot more difficult to take than a cut from a sword. Okay? Words, I remember my mom teaching me this, sticks and stones may break your bones. What's the last part of it? But words never do, or something along those lines. But really, words can do a lot worse than break your bones, okay? I'd rather have my bones broken, okay, than the feeling you get and the emotional, the psychological pressure. People get old. Have you seen people that their hair gets white very early? There's a lot of pressure mounting on them. It's psychological, but it's not physical pressure. The Holy Prophet is bombarded from all directions. The madlumiyah of the Holy Prophet. That's why he said he's received hurtful words and pains from people in ways that no other prophet has. Okay? When you're feeling like that, you really feel you want to take some rest. Okay? I don't want to use the word depression, because it's not really the same as depression. We don't compare the Holy Prophet to us. But if we were to compare it to him to us, we would say it would be something similar to that. You feel down, you feel like, okay, what's going on here? Very difficult. So the Holy Prophet has wrapped himself in a malhafa. The Holy Prophet, the strongest human being you can imagine. How much pressure is mounted on him. He's struggling to get this word out. There's a lot of pushback in ways that are unimaginable for us. So dealing with this, he goes home after a lot of that day, and he's tired. He's really exhausted. And he wraps himself in a sheet, and he lies down that night. And these verses are revealed. Ya ayyuhal muzzammil. So why did I give all of this? Look, the Holy Prophet in his mission, very difficult mission that he has, more difficult than any of you and any of us can actually imagine, is hitting obstacles that are very difficult to overcome. And he feels down. It's something that a lot of times happens for those of us who are involved in such a mission. For those of us who are involved. Now this lesson, what we're going to see, what God tells the Prophet and tells all of us in the surah, is going to be important. It's going to be a solution for whatever problems we're facing. For whatever problems we're facing. If we're facing problems trying to do something, especially if it's God's mission that we're trying to accomplish, when you hit obstacles, see it's difficult, it's not working out, you feel like there's no light in the end of the tunnel, what do you do then? These verses are giving us a solution. This becomes a very important message. What does God say you do in these situations? What does God give us as a solution when you're really struggling? When it's really tough? When people are not coming? I've heard a lot of this type of language in this community. When you have people that are trying to help the community, trying to do community work, they hit brick walls. Okay. There's a lot of difficulties. What's the solution? Sometimes people just give up. like, oh, forget this. That's not going to work. Or they just want to leave for a while. Just put it on the back burner. Let it rest for now. God tells the Holy Prophet, no, that's not what you do. You don't put it on the back burner. You don't give it a rest. What do? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya ayyuhal muzammil qumil layla illa qalila. Be up at night. You need to have a special connection, more of a connection with Allah. As we will see, this is not a recommendation only for the Prophet, his companions as well. His companions as well. Let's not forget, let me remind you, this is at the beginning of the mission. This is important for us. If you and I want to be part of the mission of the Imam of our time here, which is very similar to the times in Mecca, the majority of people around you are not Muslim, you want to be part of this, you want to do work, and inshallah we're all trying to contribute in whatever way we can, it gets difficult. How do you deal with this? قُمِ اللَّيْلِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. You have to start getting up in the middle of the night. The night prayer. Salatul Layl. What does this have to do with anything? I'm struggling with people. God says, look, I'm in control. What are you thinking? Do what I tell you. Yeah, have that extra connection with Allah. That's what's going to resolve things. You think you want to spend more time on taking care of whatever the activity is? Meet more people, do this, do that. This is what's going to get it going? No. قُمِ اللَّيْلِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Okay. Try to make sure you get enough rest so you can stay up. It says, these are the words. It's not just the night prayer. So one, the first point we're saying here is stressing that the night prayer is the solution to solving difficult circumstances. I was watching these clips. I recommended this to the brothers and sisters in Dallas, and I strongly recommend all of us here. Sometimes we hear these stories at the time of the Holy Prophet, and we think, oh, this is for 1400 years ago. In Arabia, this made sense. Now, you know, you can't really do it. There are clips. Believers who fought for the sake of Allah, put their lives on the line for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Under tough sanctions, no weapons were allowed to be sold to the Islamic Republic. Okay. Very, very difficult times. Intelligence is being provided to Saddam. Weaponry is being provided for Saddam. Political support is there for Saddam. The media worldwide is condemning the Islamic Republic, despite it's Saddam who started this, not for the Iraqi people, but for the Western powers, for his own agenda and their agenda. Otherwise, the Iraqi people didn't want to fight that war. Very, very difficult circumstances. In one of the operations that they had to go, they were going to get the city of Fa, which is right on the border. And this was a very difficult task. There's a huge river there, crossing it is very difficult. They had to do it at night. They had these soldiers go, these believers go for 3 or 4 months in the winter, day in and day out, they're in the water. Okay. Freezing cold water, okay. For hours there, coming out, it's freezing cold. They would come out 2 a.m. in the winter. You know, you have a lot of time before, you have about 3 hours before Fajr time. They say, we were trying to find them to give them tea to warm them up. We find them, they're behind some tree, the night prayer. Salatul Layl. Worshipping to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They just came out of the water, freezing cold. They should be going to bed now. No. Salatul Layl. Okay. Finding a corner, no one's there. Making that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُمِ اللَّيْلِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. This is how, with all the ammunition that was given, all the biological and chemical weapons that were given, unfortunately, Saddam used them against his own people, used them against the Iranian people. in Halabja and elsewhere is used against the Iraqi people. With all of that, 8 years, in the end, they were begging the believers, please accept this resolution. Why? Salatul Layl. The war front, Salatul Layl was something that was serious. You have difficult times, you have troubles, obstacles, even in your personal lives. Now what I'm encouraging is, let's try to be like the Prophet and the people around him, followers of the Imam of our time, be part of this mission and use this as our shield, as our weapon. The weapon of the believer is this. But leaving that aside, if you're struggling with your personal life, with your work, with your family, with your children, there's difficulties, looking for a good tool, you're looking for something that can help you out, قُمِ اللَّيْلِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. This is the solution Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us. Now then look at how it's being worded. I was amazed. You know, these are new believers. These are people that have just come into Islam. You're thinking that, okay, you know, God, take it easy on them. Prayer, how much? God says, قُمِ اللَّيْلِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Uphold the night except for a small portion. Not stay up a small portion. Uphold it except for a small portion. قُمِ اللَّيْلِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Next verse, نِصْفَهُ, half of it, أَوْ انْقُصْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا, or a little less than half of the night. أَوْ زِدْ عَلَيْهِ, or a little more than half, around half of the night. If you calculate the hours, what's Maghrib time? Around 8:45, around approximately. And Fajr time is around 5, okay. How many hours does that give you? 9 hours, 8, 9, whatever. Half of 4.5 hours, 4 hours, 3 hours, not 20 minutes. We say, look, 20 minutes, you could do the night prayer in 20 minutes, 30 minutes. To get us encouraged to at least do it. But the verse says, نِصْفَهُ, half of the night, أَوْ انْقُصْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا, or a little less than that, or even a little more than that. Night prayer, strong connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How is the prayer referred to in these verses? One word that is used is qum, qum al-layl. It's not just being up, you know, lying down in bed, I don't know, having coffee or caffeine or something, just lying in bed. No, you stand. Okay. Standing position in prayer, qum al-layl. But the other word that we have here in verse 4, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. This is referring to that prayer, the night prayer. You should be reciting a lot of Qur'an in the night prayer. Reciting a lot of Qur'an, longer surahs of the Holy Qur'an. Sometimes I've heard Shia brothers and sisters, sort of, it seems, they're making some sort of a joke from Salatul Taraweeh. You know, they've seen, those of you who've been there, Salatul Taraweeh, like, oh my God, this guy's doing a juz. Okay. Standing and standing and standing. Well, that's not funny. That's what we should be doing. Not the Taraweeh part of it, the Jama'ah part of it. But that much Qur'an and prayer, yes. Why not? Why not? Just Surah Tawheed, quickly finish it. Yes, you're allowed to. But you want to stick to the bare minimum, get bare minimum results, or you want to try to do the maximum, get maximum results? At least let's know. Okay, I'm not telling you this as someone who's practicing this. I'm telling this to myself first and foremost. But let's know what Islamic ideals are like. Islam says, no, نِصْفَهُ أَوْ انْقُصْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا أَوْ زِدْ عَلَيْهِ, and then رَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنِ. Prayer, yes, dua is important. Sometimes the ulama do dua Abu Hamza al-Thumali. Have you looked how many pages dua Abu Hamza al-Thumali is? Say in Salatul Witr, the one prayer, the one rak'ah prayer, the last one of the 11 rak'ahs. You're supposed to be making dua in the qunut. Some ulama in Najaf, I heard this from Ayatollah Araki, who used to be in Najaf at that time, before the revolution, before he moved to the Islamic Republic. said, you go to the haram of Amir al-Mu'mineen, you would see loads of people in Qunut, dua of Abi Hamza al-Thumali. Very long. Even sitting down doing it is difficult. Standing and performing this, that's good, but this, the verse says, رَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. رَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Do the dua, do the Qur'an, a lot of Qur'an. And رَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. It's another thing. That's not رَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. تَرْتِيلًا بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. You're speaking to, these are God's words. Do we understand this? These are God's words. If you're reading before an audience of people, you're reading a text, addressing them, you read carefully. You pronounce properly. Now you're speaking to Allah, reading His own words. How do you read that? رَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Pronounce the letters and the words appropriately. Take your time. Don't rush through it. And there's a reason behind that. If you start doing this, if we continue doing this, our connection with the Qur'an, just imagine this, the connection with the Qur'an itself brings the heart to life. But imagine doing that during Salat. During Salat, the combination of that. Reading God's words in Salah, addressing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. And by the way, you can hold the Qur'an and read. For those who don't know, I've been asked this question. From a fiqh perspective, can we hold the Qur'an up and read, or do we have to read from memory? No, you can hold the Qur'an up and read. You don't have to read from memory. Read that. And if this becomes a habit, and after prayer, we look at translations as well. We start picking up the meanings. There's courses out there, for those who don't know. There are courses out there that teach you the key words from the Holy Quran, such that after you go through the course, you're going to be able to understand much of the Quran by just reading the Arabic. Okay. You're not Arab, but after you go through the course, it doesn't take too long either. There's some online courses, you can find them. I think they're going to be introduced in MC this year, specifically. You go through that course, you get to know the bulk of the words in the Holy Quran. You'll be able to get a lot of the words, a lot of the meanings out once you go through the course. Read the Quran, the connection with Allah, the connection with the verses of the Holy Quran, it does wonders. It does wonders. If this nur, if it's nur, which it is, the Quran says this is nur. But if we don't read it constantly and continuously, that light stays outside of my heart. It does not guide me. It needs to come in. It needs to come into the heart. Okay. And through the continuous recitation of the verses of the Holy Quran, paying attention to them, that starts coming. Starts coming in prayer, especially. So, up to verse 4, we've explained Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the Holy Prophet. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya ayyuhal muzzammil, qum al-layla illa qalila, nisfahu aw inqus minhu qalila, aw zid alayh, wa rattil al-Qur'ana tartila. The last verse we're going to start tonight, and we're going to probably continue a little more tomorrow with this, is verse 5. Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila. I'll give you an intro to this and we'll leave the further explanation of it for tomorrow, inshallah. We mentioned that the Holy Prophet is already under pressure. Okay. If you got someone that's going through a difficult mission, usually what we would do is that when you want to calm them down, you tell them, okay, you know, take some rest. You can relax a bit, you know, get some energy, get back on track. The surah just throws that idea out the window. It says, stay up half of the night or more of it because sanulqi, inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila. we're going to have more tasks for you. There's more coming. Get yourself ready. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. This is a very important message of the Holy Quran. We got to get this. Sometimes we think, okay, when is this? When are we going to be relieved? You know when you're going to be relieved? Death. The moment of death. That's when you're not going to have any more. It's one of the interpretations of the verse of the Holy Quran. It says, الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Those who say our Lord is God, and they are steadfast, they have perseverance, none of these obstacles cause them to stop or slow down. They're going full speed ahead. Okay. Full speed ahead. I hope we do that. If we had five believers moving full speed ahead, our communities would not be the way they are. The Holy Prophet flipped Arabia upside down in 23 years. How many years have we been here? 23 years, he flipped it upside down. Of course, the Holy Prophet is different. We can't be like the Holy Prophet. But if we try our best, take the Holy Prophet as the model, look up to him, whatever speed you have, his full speed is way above and beyond our imagination. But I have a full speed. Am I doing that? Am I moving ahead full speed? No, I'm not. I'm a little too relaxed here. Verses, that's one of the messages. It doesn't stop. That verse that I was saying, الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, they're moving along full speed. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ, the angels would descend upon them and say, لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ, there's no fear, وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, there's no grief, there's no sorrow, there's no fear. The Mufassirin, a lot of them have said that this is the moment of death. At the moment of death, the angels will descend upon them and tell them that. There's an Irfani translation of that, that the Irfani death happens when you realize you're nothing. And everything is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both of them, either of those two happen, the physical death or spiritual death, the reality, realizing real life coming into us. That's the time when this is going to be ending. The grief and the sorrow is going to be ending. Otherwise, there's going to be troubles, there's going to be obstacles. We have to move along full speed. None of this should not only not stop us, it shouldn't even slow us down. Every day we should be thinking. I remember one of the ulama told me this about Allama Askari. I don't know if you guys know Allama Askari. He lived into his 90s, if I remember correctly. A very pious scholar, very active. He built schools in Najaf. K through 12, schools in Najaf. Before Saddam's time, but the Ba'ath party was in power. He built schools in Najaf and in other cities he tried to. In Iran, he did a lot of work. He created universities. He's written books, dialogues, trained students, very active. This scholar was saying, I went to visit him when he was in the hospital, taking his last breaths, okay, as we've assumed, and that's what ended up happening. He was ill, he was in the hospital. He said, I went to visit him. He was telling me, I've heard this thing is going on, I forget the detail, whatever it was. He said, you know, we need to have a meeting, get Aytla Misbah, we need to sit down and talk about this. He's on the deathbed, for God's sake. He's still planning, we got to sit down, talk about this, plan, how do we resolve this issue? Okay. Some verses are just too relaxed. This is the message, one of the messages that we have in this verse, that believers do not slow down because of obstacles. You continue full speed. And the best weapon we have is Salatul Layl, connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to enlighten our souls with the light of the Qur'an. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enlighten our hearts with the light of the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in. We ask Allah to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us become of His true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect all those who are protecting Islam and the Muslimin. We ask Allah to protect our maraja. We ask Allah to protect our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins. These are the last nights of the month of Ramadan. We're approaching the end. We beg, Ya Allah, if you have not forgiven us up to this point, if we haven't done something enough for you to forgive us of our sins. We beg you by the right of the Imam of our time that you forgive us at this moment of our sins. We ask him to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our forefathers, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have left this world. We ask Allah to relieve all believers of the hardships, difficulties, sufferings, illnesses that they're going through, especially believers suffering from the atrocities of the Saudi regime in Yemen, the atrocities of the Saudi regime in ISIS in Iraq, the atrocities of the Saudis and the Jordanians and ISIS in Syria and in Lebanon, the atrocities in Pakistan, the atrocities in Burma, and the heat and the difficulty that brothers and sisters are facing and were facing, and I think they might be facing in Pakistan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve them all, and we ask Him to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa Alih, Rahimallah man qara al-Fatiha ma'as-salawat.